Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Well, I'm not going to delay the word any longer. I want to bring to you today something, and I'm going to continue in the series that Pastor Ronnie began last week, and that is 2020 Vision. And today I want to speak to you about part two, what God sees. What God sees. And I'd like to direct your attention to the 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 7. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version on this passage. All of the scriptures, of course, will be on the screen for you today. So you'll be able to follow right along with that. Also, everything is in YouVersion. If you would like to go on YouVersion, you can search for CRC or Crystal River Events. You'll see us on there. And that's on this morning for you. It says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees.'" Aren't you glad he doesn't see like man sees? I mean, really. Aren't you glad that God doesn't see what others see? Amen? "For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Let us pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I come before you understanding that I'm just a feeble man. And that, Lord, without your Holy Spirit today, it's just going to be a lot of useless words. But if you would look on your people today, on your children, you would fulfill a need this morning. I pray that you would use me to speak to them, to encourage them. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. I want to read to you a story. It says, "There was once a man who was shipwrecked and stranded on an island. Every day he prayed, asking God to send someone to rescue him. But to his disappointment, no one ever came. Months passed, and this man learned how to survive on the island. During this time, he accumulated things from the island and stored them in a hut that he constructed. One day after hunting for food and returning back to his hut, much to his dismay, he saw that his hut was on fire, along with everything else he owned. All of his possessions were going up in smoke. The only thing he had left were the clothes on his back. Initially, he was in shock. And then he was consumed with anger and rage. In his fury, he threw a fist in the air and began cursing God and yelling, 'God, how could you let this happen to me? I've been praying every day for months about being rescued, and no one has come. And now everything that I have is on fire. How could you do this to me? Why would you let this happen?' Later, the man was on his hands and knees weeping heavily when he happened to look up and catch sight of a ship coming to his direction. The man was rescued, and as they were heading back to civilization, the man asked the captain, 'How were you able to find me?' The captain responded, 'We were voyaging across the ocean when we noticed on the horizon a column of smoke going up. We decided to go check it out, and when we did, that's when we found you.'" You see, this is a great example of misunderstanding what you see. See, I know that there are some times that we jump to conclusions. I know for once I am one of those that can do that. To where we see a situation and our anger gets the best of us, our rage gets the best of us, or we see an obstacle and we're overwhelmed with fear. I'm sure many of you can relate to this. You get so stressed by life and what is presented before you. And one word or one thing will just set you off. We automatically assume the worst and then react based upon our assumptions. And of course, this can lead to disaster. You see, in our opening text, it is clear that even the prophet Samuel was in danger of deciding based upon how he saw a situation. This is the story of the anointing of the King David. God warns Samuel before he even shows up to Jesse's house. Jesse, of course, was king, was David's father. Before David even, or Samuel shows up, he shows up to the house. Before he opens the door and starts to look, God says, hey, just to let you know, wait a minute. When you see the lad, I want you to know, don't look at the outward appearance. Because when you look at the outward appearance, he can fool you. Because if you would look on the outward appearance, if you made a judgment based upon a good king by the outward appearance, Saul would be the ideal king. Because the Bible says that he stood a head above everyone else. He was strapping. He was strong. He looked like a king. But God tells Samuel, he says, don't get that presumption in your mind. Don't make a decision before you hear me out. Right? Now, this is not like when your crazy aunt asks you to go on a blind date. I don't know what it is, but everybody has a crazy aunt that tries to set them up when they're single. And anybody know what I'm talking about? They say, I got somebody for you. I'm telling you, they're the perfect person for you. And then what comes out of their mouth is, they have a great personality. And of course, everybody knows what that's code for. You're not going to be attracted to them. All right? This isn't the case here. God isn't telling Samuel, hey, listen, David's got a great personality. No, he's telling him, there are things in his future that only I see. That there are things in his life that he will do for this kingdom that only I see right now. And when you show up, you're going to see all of the obstacles. When you show up, you're going to see a project. But I want you to see something through my eyes right now. That when you show up, I'm telling you about a man that's going to unite Israel. I'm telling you about a man that's going to set in force a kingdom that will last generations. Just take a moment and take a deep breath and don't use your eyes, but use your spiritual eyes. Amen? You see, God says don't get caught up too much in your vision. Because I'm about to impart on you my vision. And God's vision will not always look like what is considered to be logical or even possible. But God's vision is the only blessed one. God's vision might not always be the easiest to see at first either. And we know this, that when your vision is obscured, you have to have what we call corrective lenses. Right? That when you can't see clearly, Pastor talked about it last week, he talked about what the meaning of 20/20 is. And if you do not have 20/20 vision, and you go to the optometrist, they set you up with corrective lenses to make your vision what it should be. When we can't see what God sees and our vision is obscured, we have to have a corrective lens imparted. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, we don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist, but it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing Him directly just as He knows us. Amen? Aren't you glad that He sees you differently than you see you? Aren't you glad that He sees you differently than the person next to you sees you? Aren't you glad that He sees you differently than your parents, your children, your loved ones, even your spouse sees you? God sees through a vision and He wants to impart that vision on us. So when you just can't quite see clearly, how do you get to a point to where you have corrective vision? The first point is the Holy Spirit reveals what God sees. Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. In other words, the Holy Spirit is coming. And of course, we understand that to be a literal sense. Of course, Jesus did come and He healed the blind in a literal fashion, but he also comes to Simon Peter and he says, scales fell off of you. In other words, he's coming to remove some spiritual blindness on us. The Holy Spirit will come bring blindness off so you can see clearly what God's trying to impart in your life. So that when you see nothing but obstacle, when you see a year of chaos before you, when you see a situation that might befall you, God says, no, look, I'm setting you up for something. If your Heavenly Father has a vision for you, don't you think He'd want to share it with you? Is He not a good Father? Yes, of course the answer is correct. He is a good Father. And He wants you to see the vision He has for you. He wants you to have a dream that's beyond your own imagination so that you will leave where you're at and move towards it. So the question remains, how do we hear from the Holy Spirit regarding His vision? One tool is to lay out a fleece. Anybody ever heard that term before? In the book of Judges, Gideon is standing before God and he has a very important decision to make. And he's not sure what to do. And this decision could mean the difference between the death of all of his people or victory. And so he goes before God and he says, listen, he says, tomorrow I'm going to lay out a fleece before you. And then if there is dew on the fleece and not around the fleece on the ground, I know that you're with me. And of course the next morning he gets up. And there's dew only on the fleece and not around him. Then he says, okay, well, I'll tell you what. Tomorrow, I'm going to lay out another fleece. And then if I wake up in the morning and there is dew on the ground and not on the fleece, I know you're with me. Now, to some of you, you can say, man, you're just trying to argue with God. You're just trying to get what you want to hear. You're trying to search till you hear what you want to hear. No, not in this case. And don't get me wrong. There are plenty of people that will search around and ask for advice until they find a person that'll tell them what they want to hear. But this is not what Gideon's doing. He's doing what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. In other words, just don't set out because you got a whim. Just don't set out on the trip because you ate bad pizza. Don't set out on the trip because all of a sudden it looks shiny and bright. Make sure you get some confirmation in it. And that's how you know if it's God's vision. So he goes out, and of course we know that God was with him. He does have confirmation and he does receive victory. You should seek out godly counsel over what you believe is God's vision. And let me help you out with this. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not His vision. Pure and simple. If you think, and I'm telling you, I would have thought that it was crazy. I heard the stories. I heard all of this until I started pastoring full time. And then you start counseling with people and you have people in your office trying to tell you that they believe that it's God's will for them to divorce their spouse. And I said, really? And I just very simply, and I know this surprises you, but I'm pretty matter of fact. And I said, show it to me. Show me right there. If you can convince me right there, I'm on board. But I don't see it. And of course, that became a very quick and short counseling session. I'm trying. If it don't line up with the Word of God, I can just tell you real quick, it's not His vision. Next is, in order to, once you have confirmation of the vision, you then need to understand this. And point two is, God's vision doesn't always follow your timeline. Man, is that disappointing. Everybody just said, well, that's it. I'm done with that. Because I don't know. Do we have any control freaks in the house? I'm a little bit like that sometimes. You know, when I was on vacation, we used a platform that we communicate through here at the office. And pastor's communicating back and forth, different things, asking questions. And I'm responding back to him and stuff. And he says, stop it. You're on vacation. Quit. but I just can't help it. I can't. You know, and then, you know, we have meetings. I said, I'll Skype in. He goes, no, you're on vacation. Because I'm a control freak sometimes. I know that's just me. It's not you. But the point is, it doesn't always follow your timeline. Daniel chapter 10 verse 1 said, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. And he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. You see, Daniel was seeing what was going to be the deliverance of his people. He saw blessings, but it was a long time before Daniel ever started winning the approval of the king. God will open doors when the time is right in your life. He might impart a vision in your life and you say, all right, let's go. And he says, now just chill out for a minute. No, I'm giving you the vision so that you'll start down the track, but I don't want you to jump from A to B yet. I don't want you to get there yet. I've got some things I need to do in you first. And so Daniel, he could have easily said, all right, let's go with it. But no, God had some things he had to do first in his life. God will open doors in your life, but you need to be careful that you don't go start running around trying to kick them down. They will open on his time. He will unlock them with his time. Amen? If you want the vision that God has for your life, you're going to have to be willing to follow his timeline. Don't be discouraged. Just because the vision doesn't come to pass when you think it should, it doesn't mean that it still isn't true. The Bible said right here, it said the message was true, but the appointed time was long. I come here to tell somebody this morning, that you've been waiting for that vision to transpire. And you even started to give up on that vision. You've even started to give up on that dream. You've even started to say, maybe that wasn't God. Maybe I was following after something else. But God's saying, listen, just because it's taken a little while doesn't mean the message wasn't true. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? That you've been waiting, that you've been anticipating, that you've been sitting on your seat ready for it to happen, and it hadn't happened yet. So at moments of time, you've got discouraged. There's been moments in your life where others have tried to discourage you and tell you to move on. But something way back in your spirit said, I just can't let go of it. I just can't move away from it. There's something yet to happen. And God is telling you, make no mistake, the time might be long, but the message is true. You see, Daniel was about to be counsel for the king. But before he could be counsel for the king, there was a pit and a lion he had to face. Before Abraham could father many nations, he had to have a situation with Lot. Before Joseph could rule as governor, there had to be a prison. But in the prison was a cupbearer that was going to bring his name before Pharaoh. I'm here to tell somebody this morning that you've been waiting for your vision to happen. And you've said, why is it taking me this long to get to here? And God said, because in the process, I've got something for you. Hallelujah. You see, in the prison was a cupbearer. David was to be king, but he had to learn some things about being a king first. This brings me to my next point. God doesn't reveal everything at once. He don't reveal it all at once. I'm sure Daniel wished that God would have told him that there was going to be a pit of lions. I'm sure that Daniel or Joseph wished that God would have told him that there was going to be a prison. I'm sure that David wished that God would have showed him that Saul was going to seek his life and try to kill him. But the Bible says in Proverbs 13 and 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. You see, there are some things that God has concealed about the vision. Because if you would hear it, you'd never step out there ready to operate in the vision. So he's concealed some things back for you. Because he don't want the hope to be deferred in your life. He don't want you to think, well, if I set out here, I'm going to have to step into a pit. Well, if I set out here, I'm going to have to face some lions. Well, if I set out here, I'm going to have a time
time in a dungeon. Well, if I sit out here, I might lose some time. Well, if I sit out here, I might lose some business. He says, listen, I've concealed it. I've hid it from you so that you will step out. But I want you to know this, that what God conceals, He has provision to heal. He doesn't conceal it unless He says, I have a step and a plan and an order to this. He don't conceal it unless He says, don't worry about it. That one thing I concealed at the beginning in the vision, I hid because I've got the answers. All you need to do is step out and trust me.
Amen. Another thing to remember is, not everyone's going to see your vision. Daniel 10:7-8 says, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me. For my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. You see, not everyone can see what God has for your life. Because not everyone can handle what God has for your life. Not everybody can handle the dream that God has for you. Not everybody can withstand the plans that God has for you. It's going to look crazy to them. It's going to look like you've succumbed to nonsense. It's going to look like you've lost your mind. But God's plan is huge and big and greater than you can ever think, ask, or imagine. That's the kind of plans He brings about. Sometimes what God reveals is beyond what most would even believe is possible. And often the work involved to achieve the dream would overwhelm those that cannot trust Him. So He says, don't worry about the people that flee your side when I impart vision into your life. Don't worry about the brothers that cast you and sell you off into slavery when I show you a dream. Because one day they'll come back asking you for some bread. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. One day they'll come back asking, saying, wait a minute, I saw the dream come to pass in your life. Well, I'm sorry about that day when I left you, but today if you'll forgive me, today if you'll love me, I just need a little taste of what you got. Don't get caught up in the hysteria when others start running away from you. When God reveals His plan for your life, they just can't handle what God is about to do through you. Daniel's vision was so great that he lost men and he even lost a little bit of strength. God's vision is great and sometimes it can feel overwhelming. But don't worry, because God will strengthen you to complete the vision. Daniel 10:10-11 says, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. You see, God sends an angel to touch Daniel and impart strength to him. When you feel like you just don't have that left in you, when you feel like you don't have any energy in you, when you feel like you don't have the strength to overcome, when you feel like you don't have the wisdom to execute the plan and business strategy He's given you, when you feel like you just don't quite understand where He's calling you, when you feel like you're not sure why you're even here any longer, He says, just chill out for a moment. I'm about to send an angel your way to touch you and to impart strength into you. In order to receive God's strength for the vision, you have to be willing to open your heart to understanding. Verse 12 says, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. Two things Daniel does. He opens his heart to understanding. In other words, he says, I don't know everything. Right? He says, I don't have all the answers. He says, I don't have everything that it takes to complete this vision. I don't have all the resources it takes to make this happen. I don't have everything I need to live this out. So he listens to others Then he receives strength after he humbles himself before God. The next step is you have to submit yourself to God and His will. You can't take His vision and then start adding your extras. Come on, anybody. You can't take His vision, His plan, His dream, and start adding your extras and your fluff to it. If He sets the plan, follow the plan. Amen? When you understand what God has birthed inside of you is from Him and Him alone, then you'll understand that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen His way. Amen? Everybody stand in this place. When I was researching this and studying to speak for you this morning, I came across something. One of things that I get or I like, one of my interests is studying the rabbinical prescription of numbers to Hebrew words. And it's called gematria. And you are not going to believe, maybe you will, what 2020 means. It's a Hebrew word called hatzatshalah. Easy. And it means deliverance. You see, the vision that Daniel received was God's plan for deliverance of him and his people. The vision that God is giving you for this year right now is God's plan for deliverance of you and your people. That 2020 is the year of deliverance. That 2020 is the year that lives are changed. That 2020 is the year that the chains come off your business. That 2020 is the year that the chains of addiction come off your family. That 2020 is the year that the families come back to God. This morning, if you need that, this morning, if you're looking for God's vision in your life and you need clarity, I'm going to ask you right now that you'll come up here, Spirit Life team, if you'd help me. You'll come up here. We're going to pray for you. We're going to let God speak and impart His vision. And I'm going to believe that deliverance is going to set loose in your life. First step to God's vision in your life is becoming a believer. If there's anybody in this house that does not know Jesus, I want to give you this opportunity this morning. I want to give you an opportunity to know Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed in this place. If you don't know Jesus, and you would like to know Him this morning so that you can allow His vision to set loose in your house, would you raise your hand? Anybody in this place? I'm going to assume every person in this house is a believer. Next step is I want to say that if this year you're looking for God's vision in your life and you want to start seeing what God sees, not what you see in the mirror, not what others tell you about yourself, but you want to hear what God sees, will you raise your hand in this house? Hands all over this place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You understanding that Your vision is the only vision for deliverance. Father, I pray that You would set loose the captives. I pray, Lord, that You would speak over their lives. I pray that You would speak over their finances. You would speak over their homes. You would speak over their families. You would speak over every situation, their businesses, in Jesus' name. I pray that You would set loose Your vision in their life. Give them the plan. Give them the procedure. Give them the discipline, God. I pray that You would give them discernment to know who's on their side and who's not. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you want prayer, we're going to pray up here. If not, you're dismissed.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.